This segment of the podcast is sponsored by Traveling Nice Experiences, here to help you create new memories one experience at a time. Contact Traveling Nice Experiences at www.travelingniceexperiences.com to book your summer 2021 travel. Once again, that's www.travelingniceexperiences.com. We're ready to help you create your next memorable experience.
Previously on the What a Word podcast.
I understand. I mean, compared to someone else who's on the front lines, who's actually on ground in Georgia, picketing and marching, compared to those who are like jogging for Ahmaud, compared to the lawyers who are involved in the case, there are different degrees of involvement where you're helping. But I'm just a voice. And if I can add my voice to the list of voices that are saying justice is required, I'll do that for now. When another opportunity comes, or if I find a way to do more, I'll do that. But I'm not going to let the perfect be the enemy of the good. All right? If I can't protest right now, if I can't be out there, it's not going to be a reason for me to be ashamed and say, oh, because I can't protest, I'm going to be quiet. No. I'll say my piece. And I know that on some granular level, the aggregate of voices that keep yelling, it's what builds up to a crescendo of change. So we're going to do that. The option is not there to just say that's how it is. In your own world, in your own circle of influence, you do something. You know, that's my take.
You are listening to the What a Word podcast, an interview style podcast where guests bring their unique experiences and insight on culture, life's challenges, and faith. Each episode is seasoned with words which will inspire and encourage. Now here is your host, Ryan Sharp.
Welcome to the What a Word podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Sharp. I want to thank you so much for welcoming me back. Last week was tremendous. Mr. Eddie Hippolyte was authentic, transparent, and he gave us a lot of nuggets. Please go back if you haven't already and listen to episode 51. Not only am I inspired by my current guest, but I've been doing a segment called The Recap where I'll play clips of recent or past interviews. And those have blessed me as well because they've clearly defined my role as a host, a content creator, and a speaker in this season and in this space. So I was reminded last week about the importance of documenting our experiences. And today I'm reminded that my voice and your voice adds to the crescendo that will lead to change. Powerful words in this season and time. And today I'm excited because my guest is Evelyn Uba, and she is a viral sensation. I discovered her video on Twitter, and what that video represented was the culmination of perseverance, resilience, and victory. See, Evelyn Uba came to the United States from Nigeria as an international student. Her plan was to study here and then continue her studies in Nigeria. She made a promise to her dad that she would become an attorney. Life happened, but she continued her studies here, and she was a mother, a wife, and a student, a mother of four. And after 9 years of trying, she successfully completed the bar exam. And after hearing the video, I'll have you join Evelyn Uba and her family in that moment, and I'll play that clip. And then immediately following, Evelyn Uba will join me on the What a Word podcast. Please join me in welcoming her.
You believed in me and you said I have, and I did it. Mwah! I did it for you. Now you're happy. I keep saying it because you can't give up. So I have to practice what I preach. Perseverance. You don't give up, you keep trying.
Exactly.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for joining.
Yeah, thank
Welcome.
You.
Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
So describe for listeners. I mentioned in your introduction that I came across your story because of a video that had gone viral. Please describe for listeners what was happening in that moment.
So for my the video that went viral, like you said, it took a while for me to pass the California bar. And after 9 years of trying, when I passed it, when the result came out January 8th, my kids decided to put it on Twitter, where I was enjoying and laughing and, dancing and kissing my dad and saying, so they just posted it and it went viral. And that's why I'm here. I mean, it's still unbelievable. California Bar is a different animal, but this shows to, prove to people that, anything is possible, no matter how hard it is.
So. And for those of our listeners, many of them have heard the stories about the bar exam, but describe for listeners what the bar exam is and what it means for someone when they are successful at that exam.
Okay. I came to America as a foreign student. I was 18 when I came. I was just supposed to come to America, spend 7 years and go back home. I'm Nigerian. So then of course I have to get my first degree, which I did. And then after the last year of my bachelor's degree, my dad got sick. So having to ask for money became different. So you can't just ask a sick person to keep sending you money. Fast forward, I stayed in America instead of going back home, but I never gave up the hope of going to law school, which was the original plan. The original plan was come to America, stay 7 years, which included 4 years of undergrad and then 3 years of law school and then head back home. But things changed. I got the 4 years of, I got the bachelor's after 4 years and then before I could get to law school, my dad was sick, so I had to put things on hold. But got married, had 4 kids, but I never gave up hope of going back to law school because that was a promise. Because after I got married, my dad passed. And before he passed, I had promised him that I would continue the journey of finishing what I came to America for, which is the law school. So anyway, so fast forward, after 4 children, I went back to law school. And I did it working full time as a mom and just going to work and going to school part time. Finished law school, and that was like a celebration. Like I got my JD now. Now what? You can't practice. You can't go to court without passing the bar. You have to take the state exam, which is the bar exam. California bar exam is very hard. Other states, maybe 50%, 60%, 70% passage, but California, they go from 27% passage to 30. Sometimes, every now and then you get like 50, maybe 60, but that's really that's hard. California and New York is like the hardest part in America. So to do that with full-time work and a mother of four was kind of challenging. Okay, so that's what it was. So to pass the California bar is not an easy feat. Some people give up and just move on to other things. But as stubborn as I was, I didn't give up. So I kept going at it and keep working and keep taking it. So on my 9th year of, I started 2011 to take it. That's when I graduated law school. And then I took it from 2011. Some years I skipped. I didn't take it every year, but for the most part, I took it. I took it more than 10 times, let's put it that way. And I kept taking it and I keep failing it. And then 2020 was the 9th year. And with pandemic and everything, I almost didn't take it because they kept trying to cancel it or postpone it. But I was like, I am not going to, I have to take this exam. And I did. And that was the one that I passed. So the result came out in January of 2021. And I passed, and then my kids, you know, I was celebrating, and then my kids recorded it and put it on Twitter, and it went viral. Like, wow, this lady is stubborn. She kept going at it until she passed. So perseverance.
I think what you did, Attorney Uba, is you captured for many the hopes and dreams of someone who would not give up on a dream of theirs. What kept you going? What kept you revisiting?
As a minority in this country, I see a lot of injustice. And I see a lot of things that happen to minority people. And for me, that license means that I could become part of the solution. I could help. The job that I do now, I help people, but I can only help to certain extent. But I know that law degree and law license will extend and will push my capacity a little further into helping them, especially legally. So seeing that that's all I need to take that extra step was like something like, I need to get this license, because if I give up, I got, like, to me, I looked at, I have 90% of what it takes. All I need is to pass this exam. And then I could do this job where I can actually help people legally, so that the justice system, I could become a part of the body that, you know, that help within the legal system. That's one of the reasons. But the other reason is I already promised my dad that I need this. I came here. That's the only reason I left home, was to become an attorney. And to have the degree and you can't do anything with it, to me, it's useless. And the other part of it was my children. They're looking at me. They saw me go through the process of going to school and not being a mom like I should be. Certain things that I gave up, or they gave up because I was studying or I was going to school, was to just have a brief, not having that license is like, why even waste your time going to law school to begin with? And I have a child that told me, she goes, Mom, if you give up now, all those years, all those times you couldn't go to weddings, all those times you couldn't come to our games, all those times you couldn't do X, Y, and Z, all those times you couldn't sleep, it went for nothing. There's nothing to show for it, because once you give up, then all those, like, you never have, it's like, what do I do with this JD license? Nothing. I mean, there's other things you could do with it, but that's not my intention of going to law school, was to just have a law degree or other things. I have it for a specific reason, and I needed that license to solidify my intentions of getting it. So there's so many reasons why I'm like, no, I can't give up. There's nothing else for me to do besides practicing law. I don't want to do anything else. So that's what motivates me. And that, you know, everything I give up that I know I can get back, even at my job, I didn't look to become supervisors, or I didn't take any other step. I'm like, this is all I want. So for to not have it is like to give up everything that I've worked for. So those are the things that kept me going, knowing that I must get this license, and I kept going.
Oh, could you walk us through the sacrifice? You touched on it, you know, in terms of what you sacrificed as a mom in terms of time. And many people may not understand the involvement of time in terms of study and preparing and classwork and the exam itself, but walk us through some of the personal sacrifices you had to make along your journey.
Okay, let me start with my children. My children are like, well, they're on top of the list. So I sacrificed, but not too much for them, because maybe if it wasn't for them, I could have passed it earlier because they come first. But of course, that doesn't mean I didn't sacrifice. I sacrificed, like, say, for example, I have to take exam, and then there's something going on at school. I have to take exam. So I couldn't go to those things. Or maybe there's a field trip or something, because I started the journey when my baby was 2 years old when I went back to school. So there are certain things I try my best to be there the most time, but sometimes I will have to enlist the help of other people, my mom was great. She, you know, I'm blessed that she's here, and she played a lot of role that I should be playing as a mom. So she will fit in for, she fit into those roles, but not being there and not doing certain things with my children is a sacrifice. But we had to talk about it. I had to remind them I'm doing this for us, because they will remind me every now and then, mom, you need to be doing this. How come you didn't come to my game? You know, but like little things, I didn't sacrifice big things, but certain little things I sacrificed, or they sacrificed, you know, I couldn't go to like to watch the game or, you know, but school stuff, I was on it. I made sure, but if it conflict with school, with my exam, you know, my exam will come first. So if it's their birthday, sometimes I'll take that exam on their birthdays and I wasn't here. And, but they understood it. You know, it's like, mom is not here because she's taking the exam. If I'm prepping for the exam, I will still be there, but not as much, like to have parties. I mean, there's so many things I gave up. But talking about it with them and making them understand that I was doing it for all of us helped. So that one. But then there's also, you know, family events like weddings or, you know, going on vacations. We didn't go on vacations. We couldn't do certain things because if I had any time on the book, those time we used to study or to take exam because I was working full time. So every little thing, any little time I have, I devoted it to my school or exam. If I'm sick, sometimes I didn't even call in sick because I need those little sick time to study. So there's so many, you know, there's so many things, you know. So, and then the other personal one is, of course, is sleepless night. So you do everything to accommodate everybody, and then you stay up at night so you can catch up on time. There's only 24 hours in a day. So you do whatever. So I did everything that I could in my power, including even my health. Sometimes, you know, I'm sick or something is going on, but I didn't let that stop me. Even the day I took the exam, I had surgery on my foot, both of my feet, actually. I had the surgery, but I still went in Brooklyn when I was taking the exam. People look at me funny, but I didn't care because to me, it was like a war. You know, and I wasn't gonna give up on this war, so I keep fighting. So throughout my journey has been war, it has been health, and you know, there's so many things, but I had my eye on the ball. Like, things happen, as long as I'm not dead, I'll keep trying. So it came with a lot of sacrifices, but at the end it paid off. I'm glad I did all those sacrifices, and now it's like I'm trying to recuperate and relax and get my head together before I can take the next step. So, yeah.
We had a similar journey, and I spoke to you prior to recording, and both attorneys, you and I, and my bar journey was not easy as well. Did not do it successfully the first few times. Not the first few times. I took it actually 6 times before I passed. And for me, did you find that the law school experience, how would I say, did you find it challenging is the easy way to ask it, the law school experience?
In comparison to like
in the comparison undergrad? To any other studies you did prior?
Oh,
to
yeah, it's definitely different. It's you know, I went for undergrad, you know, here in America, and those 4 years, I mean, it was just normal taking the exam, and the law school was so different. I can't even explain it. It's like, it's, you have, everybody's smart. Everybody that's in law school is smart. So it's not like, you know, so you look at yourself, it's like, it's not because I'm not smart. What is going on here? Sometimes it's just a strategy, learning the strategy of the exam taking or whatever it might be, yes, because it's not the concept, you know? It has nothing to do with the concept. It has nothing to do with your knowledge of the law. It's just maybe knowing how to take exam or knowing. Yeah. So the law school is a different animal. That's for sure.
It is.
Very, very different from undergrad, you know? So I found that, but they could make it easier, but I don't think they do want to make it easier, break it down a little bit. But it's for sure very challenging and different from my undergrad experience.
I want to learn a little about the Evelyn, the child and the young adult. Did you always have advocacy in your DNA? Did you always have a desire then to speak on behalf of the voiceless?
Yes, actually, you know, I didn't realize that, but now as I got older, I'm beginning to see that I've always been like this. Mm-hmm. Because I want to say, thank God I'm privileged growing up. I came from a privileged family where my parents were able to send me to America to pay for my education, you know? Wow. So I grew up in a very good environment. I had a best childhood, you know, of trying to do the same for my children. But even then, I was always helping people around me, that people that I didn't have. I go back to when I was in high school, we lived in the dorm, and I would share my stuff with people that I didn't have. Mm-hmm. I don't have looking down on people like my DNA. The way I looked at it, like, if I have it, it's not because the people that the kids around me that don't have, it's not because they're stupid or they something wrong with them. It's just that I'm fortunate to came from a family that has. So if somebody around me don't have, instead of pushing them down, I'll be the one that will help out because it could have been me. Mm-hmm. That's how I've always looked at life. But I, you know, so now going back and start looking at my childhood, when did I become this advocate person? It's always been who I am. And my dad is the same way. My mom is the same way. They always try to help the underprivileged. Mm-hmm. You know, I know when I was growing up, I'll see my dad, people will come, you know, for a little help, financial mm-hmm. help, maybe to take their kids to school or whatever. And he would extend hand. And my mom does the same thing. Mm-hmm. So it's in my DNA. Mm-hmm. I don't like to see people down or mm-hmm. I don't like injustice just because you have privilege or you're in a position of authority. Sure. That you should abuse other people, because I believe in a higher up, you know, somebody, you know, God put us here for a reason. And if you're in a position to help somebody else, you should. Mm-hmm. And it could be you tomorrow that's needing the help.
Yeah.
It could be you. So that's how I look at life. If I'm in a position to help, I feel like I should help. And if I need help, I expect people to help me.
Yeah.
So I don't believe that just because you're in a good place now that you should use that position to abuse others or manipulate it to your own advantage. I don't believe in that. So I've always spoken up as a kid, and I'm not about to change. And I see some of that trait in my children. It's not like you're not taught those things. It's just in your DNA. So to answer your question, I've always had this in me, and now growing up and seeing that I could use the same to help people, it's not to me, it's more like a passion. I like to see people do well, and I don't expect anything in return. I'm just doing it because it's the right thing to do. And it's a free gift.
Yes.
So I could help people, and it's not costing me anything, even if it's just talking to people or shaping them or advising them or, you know, doing what I can to make sure that their life is better, I would give it freely. So that's just the way I am. And it makes me happy to see people happy, especially if somebody else is abusing them because they don't have. I just don't like stuff like that. Awesome. So this law degree and license will help me to help, hopefully, some of those people that are out there and they have no voice mm-hmm. because of their economic or social or whatever status. So that's what I'm hoping to do with it.
Well, powerful points, Sister Evelyn. And I told you when we started, I would go from Attorney Uber to Sister Evelyn to, you know, different names.
That's okay. I'm all of the above.
Yes, 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 yes. What you brought out for me, and I'm hoping you could talk to someone who is listening, that you did get some encouragement. It seemed like in the back of your mind, you knew your children were watching. You could not let them down by throwing off your dreams and giving up. But I'm sure, Attorney Uba, that you had the naysayers as well, because the bar exam prep is a public thing. There's family support, friend support, but everybody knows, or most people will know, you're taking it and they're watching that journey. Did you have individuals who said, Evelyn, you know, I've been watching and I think, in all honesty, you could do something else? Did you have the naysayers as well?
Oh my God, yes. Oh my God. But I cut them off because I don't want to hear it. I've heard even family members. that will tell me in their own little way, like they look at it like, what are you still doing? You're too old for this. Why don't you do something else or move on with your life? Or, and they look down on your dream, like, why do you still want to do this when everybody else is moving on? I'm like, stay in your own lane. I mean, if your dream is to make money some other ways, then good for you, do it. This is what I want. And as long as I'm alive, I'll keep trying until I get there. If I don't get there, then at least I die trying. But yes, I had a lot of people that thought it was stupid and crazy for me to keep saying the same thing years and years. All I know, I'll hear about you is you've been saying it for years, like it's old. To them it was, but to me, every time that I have to think, it was a fresh new day because I'm still going at this and I have to get this. It was between me and God, not anybody else. Yes, there was a lot of them.
Yes. Powerful.
You just have to tune those ones out and just don't pay attention to what people are saying and just go for your dream.
That's a word. Describe for me, and I know you probably had different moments, but if you can recall one of the lowest moments while you were on this journey towards passing the exam, what would that low moment be for you as you recall the journey?
The lowest moment for me was actually my third time of taking it. After I took it, I had like 11 points shy of passing. I needed 1440 to pass and I had 1429. I could not get over that. And when the bar sent me this letter, like they knew, and they said, don't call us, don't talk to us, don't even try it, basically. Don't try to fight to call. Because that's what I wanted to do, was to write and fight. Anyway, so that was my third time taking it. And then after that, it took a toll on me for like a good 6 months. I couldn't see myself trying to get the energy or the motivation to start over, to try again. And I complained to everybody that needed to listen, that wanted to listen and didn't want to listen. I was just complaining from here to that kingdom come. And after it took a toll on me and I lost so much weight, I was so upset and I looked at myself like, but at the end of the day, I got over it. But that's the only time I remember being down, my third time. Then after that, I keep going back and then it start fluctuating, actually getting lower and up and so, but I was like, at the point I looked at myself and I said, the only way to look at that coming that close and not getting it was to tell me, smell the roses, you're almost there. You have what it takes. You have what it takes to pass this exam. Don't give up. That's how I finally took it. Because for me to come that close told me that I had what it take. All I needed was maybe one or two more multiple choices and I would have passed it. So I gave it to God. I said, God doesn't want me to pass it. That's why he just kind of showed it to me and he took it away. But after that, I was getting closer, but not closer, but I would get close, but not close enough. Maybe, you know, the point, it wasn't too low, but it wasn't, I will get to the threshold. I'll pass the threshold where they will read my exam the second time. Because if you get to like 1393, they'll read it again. So I've gotten over at like 14 something several times, but not 1429. So, but the only thing that kept coming to me was like, yes, you have what it takes, but it's not the time now. Just keep trying. Don't give up.
Powerful. Because you mentioned the naysayers saying others are moving on. It's a relative statement when you're on your own journey, because people, and they're absolutely right, people mm-hmm. move on. Your classmates, they've moved on, but your journey is indeed your own journey. And that's exactly. Powerful.
Yeah, because everybody has something that they have. Everybody has a dream and everybody has, some people went to law school or they studied something, but maybe they did it for somebody else, or they did it for some other reason. And if it doesn't work out, they move on to something else. My reasoning was different. Ever since I was 12 years old, I've always wanted to be an attorney. If I was in a different state, I could have been an attorney. If I was in Nigeria, I was gonna be an attorney because the system is different. But the way I looked at it, I had what it takes to be an attorney, but I'm in a state where there's too many attorneys and the bar is too high. They don't want you to pass it, so there's so many things. And then coupled with, I'm doing this being a full-time, you know, career woman and a full-time mother. So I have all those things. If I was a single person with no kids and I'm sitting at home and somebody's sponsoring me, maybe I would have passed it. That's how I looked at it. So my circumstances is definitely different, but I'm not complaining. All I'm doing is using whatever the avenue and whatever opportunity that I have, anything, you know, just whatever is at my disposal is what I'm trying to use my resources. So you may have given up because maybe you don't have the support, or maybe you have the support, but it's not what you want. But for me, this is all I have, and I'm using what I have to get, you know, some people were able to maybe take off and stay and study for 3 months and they could afford it, maybe financially and otherwise. I couldn't afford it. Time-wise, I couldn't afford it. So my time was just this little time at night when everybody's, you know, I go to work, come home, and then I take 2-3 hours to study. Maybe some other people will be studying for 10 hours a day, and I'm studying for 2-3 hours a day. And then I have other health challenges too. So when I looked at my health challenges, even if you give me the whole days, I have other issues that I'm dealing with that other people are not dealing with. So this is my journey. This is my circumstances. I know if it takes me 20 years to get there, as long as I get there, that's how I look at it. You know, if it's like some people are disabled and then some people are not disabled. If you have somebody that's not disabled, if you're not disabled, you probably will do things quicker than somebody that's disabled. But a disabled person could get to the same point, but it's a longer time. That's how I was looking at it. So this is my circumstances. And I'm not blaming anybody for what I'm going through. I'm not blaming anybody for what I, you know, for the position I see myself. I'm just working with what I have. And I understood that it might take me longer. It might, you know, but I'm giving it up to God. But giving up wasn't an option because I will keep trying until God says it's time. Okay, so when I go back to when I had that 1429, that was God telling me, you have what it takes to pass it. But it's not time yet. That's how I took it. So the naysayers, all those people, I block everybody out. This is me and my children. So my family understood what I was doing, especially my kid and my mom. They just, you know, they stood behind me 100%. And to me, that's all that matters. Everybody else, I didn't care what they have to say because this is my life, not theirs.
Powerful, powerful Pastor Evelyn. Now it comes across that you are a woman of faith. What role did faith play in the good and the bad moments?
A lot. I believe in God, like I said, that God has his own plans. My belief, like for me personally, yes, I'm a career woman, but my children are to me like my calling as a mom. That's like the number one. I'm not gonna say the number one reason why I'm here, but to me, that's like my number one priority. On top of my list was being a mom. So I feel like God wanted me to take care of my children and make sure that everybody's grounded before I move on to the next step. My baby, like I said, was 2 years old when I went back to start law school. She's now 17. And she's in 12th grade. She's moving on. She's going to University of California, Los Angeles in the fall. So she's done. To me, I believe God had positioned it in a way that, yes, I'll pass this bar exam, but he wanted me to take care of all my children and see them all not out of home, because they will never be out of home as far as I'm concerned. This is home all the time. You go, you come back, you know? So my home is always their home. But to make sure that that I'm here to provide them the support that they need to become adults. And once they are able to do for themselves and I don't have to worry too much, then now I can move on to the next thing, because I'm intense when I help other people. And, you know, you hear about preachers' kids. sometimes you might be helping other people and your kids are, yeah. So my faith says God wanted you to take care of the home front first before you can go out there to help, you know, the public, you know, to immerse yourself with helping others, you know, the way you want to. So yes, I think this is God's doing of saying, okay, you're done. I'm not done completely, but at least I'm done that I don't have a baby that I have to drive to play soccer, or, you know, I don't have to go to parents teachers conference, you know, because now the last one is moving on to college. She doesn't even want me to come to the school. So let alone come to the parents conference. So now I'm free. And God says, this is the time for you to now embark on this, your other journey, which is, you know, practicing law and helping other people that have no voice. That's how I'm looking at it. So yeah, I think that's God.
Mm-hmm. Powerful.
Are you enjoying the What a Word podcast and want to learn how to share it with others on social media? It's easy. Go on your favorite podcast app, find the What a Word podcast, and hit share. Please remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you won't miss any episodes. And if this podcast has encouraged or inspired you, then please consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps new listeners find us easier. Thank you.
And attorney, you have a daughter. Listeners need to know, who also went to law school. Tell them about that.
Oh yeah, my oldest also, she was in 11th grade when I graduated from law school. And then she went on and graduated and went to got her first degree in political science and then went straight to law school. And she finished law school in 2019 and passed the bar the very first time.
So let's talk about that. How was that in the home? No. That's your daughter, and you're happy for your daughter.
Oh, yeah.
So what's going on with Evelyn when that happens?
Oh, my God. That should have gone viral. I went crazier than I did when I passed it. Because to me, I told her, I keep telling her, I said, you need to go and get them for me. To me, that was a revenge. All this time I'm taking this exam and they're kicking my behind. You need to go and kick them. The first time, you never have to, you're not going to take this twice. The first time and you're going to pass it. And she did. So I was happy to say, okay, finally somebody in the family got this. And, you know, now you see California bar, you're not that hard. mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what's funny? I took the same exam with her. I took it 2019. I wasn't going to take it because I was scared that if I take it, I might kind of put a little pressure on her.
Yeah.
So I said I wasn't going to take that exam. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to one of my supervisors and, you know, just, you know, casual. And she says, you never know. She might not mind you taking it. I said, no, because that exam, she's seen me take that exam all these years. And she's maybe afraid of that monster. And for me to put pressure, and then she's studying and she has to worry about, well, what if my mom passes and I don't pass? I don't want her to have any inclination of stress, or I don't even want that. So I just want to take a break this time so she could take it. And then, you know, hopefully she passes it, and I'll support her anyway and make sure anything she needs financially, I'll just be a backbone and stay here so she can study, because she's, you know, she's a kid. So she doesn't have to worry about husband. She doesn't have to worry about kids. She doesn't have to worry about working. All she has to worry about, you know, just study and take the exam. So I'd rather stay behind and give her all the support. But it's funny. I brought it up to her. She's like, what do you mean? She goes, no, I'm fine. You can take it too, mom. I said, what? She said, yeah, you can register and take it. I mean, she was taking it with her friends. You know, she lived in an apartment in LA. So she's not home. But so all I hear is, oh, we got to go study, or we got to do this. I'm at work. I can't do all that stuff. So anyway, long story short, she registered for a prep course. And it was different from the one that I took, because I took a prep course in 2011. That was it. I couldn't, I don't have the time or the finances to do it again. So after all that, so she says, I told her, whatever you want, just let me know, his credit card, just take it. You know, at least I'm working, I can be paying for it. Like, you can, you know, take the exam. He's, you know, just go for it. Anyway, so she took this prep course. And when I registered to take the exam, of course, I couldn't get the materials because they have to, you know, how it works. They have to look at it with her own personal progress. And, but she would give me some of the tape to listen. And I'm like, wow, I said, this is like broken down. So as I'm listening to some of these lectures, I said, wow, this is really nice. I need to go back. Like, it's like going back to school. It's a refresher course. And then I found out that some of the laws has changed. I said, oh yeah, this doesn't go this way anymore. This is the new law now. Because mind you, I've been taking the exam, but I've been using the same old material to study.
And self-study.
Yes, self-study. Okay. So nobody's bringing anything up to me. I don't know what's out there. I'm just in my own little world, in my own little room doing my thing. But anyway, so when she says that, I said, really? So I said, you know what? I said, if I don't pass this exam this time, I'm going to invest in myself. And now that most of you guys are gone, I mean, I don't have to feel guilty about, you know, treating myself to this program and just not paying attention to anybody. So yes, so when she passed, I told her that day, I said, I don't want to find out, because if I had passed, she could have found out that I passed. She could have, you know, looked it up and tell me, or somebody would have told me. My son always will look at the exam whenever it's open to the public. So I'm like, if I don't hear anything, that means I didn't pass. But I celebrated her. We all celebrated her. I was so happy, you know. But this is what's funny. That exam came out in November of 2019. I did not find out about my results or my score until January of 2020. Because I did not want to open. I don't open it. I'm like, if I didn't hear, then I didn't pass. I don't care. And I was afraid of even looking at it for fear of being close. If I was close enough and I didn't pass, I didn't want it to take away from my celebration of my daughter's pass. So for that, I'm like, I don't even want to know. So when January came and I decided, okay, this is going to be my New Year resolution, is to take this bar exam, and I'm going to give myself 6 months. I will stretch it. I'm going to start from January till July, because the exam is normally in July. I wasn't going to take the February one. I was going to skip the February test, because they give it twice a year, February and July. I said, I'm going to skip the February of 2020 exam. I will take the July one. So I'm going to give myself from January till July to actually take this prep course and get ready and see what it is that I'm doing wrong, right? So when I contacted one of the tutors and he asked to see my result, that's when I went and pulled my result. And I had another second read. It was close. I was like, thank God I didn't open this, because these people are really, really messing me up. What do you mean close? Why couldn't I have just passed it? Again, you know, so anyway, so she passed it, and then that, you know, I took that course and I passed. So it could have been because of the course also that I took and the time. COVID was bad, but it came with also a blessing. It was a blessing in disguise, because then I worked from home and I was homebound. There's nothing to do but just study. And that's all I did, was just get on my laptop after work or whenever, and, you know, and just do what I have to do, like I was doing before. And that prep course, and they keep changing. And, you know, when they said they were going to cancel it, and then they postponed it till September, and then they postponed it till October. That's me buying more time for somebody like me. So it gave me more time to actually finish the course. I did 100% of that course. I took every little, I wasn't going to leave anything unturned. I'm like, since I have that little step to get there, I said, I will take everything. And I'm glad I did, because I learned a lot. And when the result came out with COVID, and I took the test with my mask on, and it was just terrible. But just passed and I was like, this is the hardest and the awkward situation. And then I passed it. I said, it can only be God. It's only God. It can't be anything else but God. So yes, I'm a Christian. Like I said, I'm Catholic and I believe in God, that everything that happens because, you know, that's just his, you know, that's just what he wanted. And I don't know anything else I can attribute it to, but just to say that it was God's doing, and I'm glad.
It's a powerful, powerful word, because I too can relate to the second wind. I remembered not knowing what my options were going to be because I thought I wasn't improving, and I saw my score like you did, and I saw how close I was, and you put it perfectly. That second wind, I really got motivated to give it another shot. And I'm so happy for you, Attorney Uba. Describe for me the moment. I mean, you covered it already, but I can't get enough of it. Who was in the room? When did you learn? Actually, let me take it back a bit. When you took the most recent exam, the one you passed, did you have a good feeling about the exam when you were completed?
No. I just like any other day, because I've had feelings that I passed and I didn't pass, and I've had feelings that I said, I'm just going to do my thing and go home. Like I always do. My kids are like, you have to say, I said, no, because when I think I do and I think I pass and then I get disappointed, I said, no, I just do my best and go home. So I try not to put any feelings towards it. But all I know is at the end of the day, I'm like, God, you know, I could feel anything I want. If you say it's not time, it doesn't matter what I think. So no, I didn't think anything or feel anything. I was, for anything, I was like this, taking the exam with mask and I'm filming up my glasses. I can't see and I'm typing. I had to learn to type. I mean, I did so much. I said, at the end of the day, I said, God, I've done everything. I don't know what else you want me to do. I mean, I've done everything. I'm not giving up, you know, but you know what's going on. I can't tell the future. I don't know what you have in stock for me, but I know this license that I must have it, because if you didn't want me to have this license, first of all, why did you let me go back to school after like 17 years of having my bachelor's degree? Why did you let me go through 4 years or 6 years? It took me 6 years because I did the first year and then I have to take the exam, you know, the baby bar and, you know, with life and stuff. So it took me, say, 6 years. Well, not 4 years, but stretched out 6 years. So I did 4 years total, but not together. So I did the first year and then I missed 2 years and I went back. Anyway, so I said, why did you have me waste my time and then give me the hope and you put it in my head that this is what I want? And then I did everything. I paid through this. I, you know, the finances and the social life that I miss and all this stuff I give up and I sacrifice and I can't. I said, there's people out there doing bad, but all I did was the right thing. I mean, there's no way you could get me to do all that. And then the only thing left is for me to have a license and I can't have it. Why did you let me go through all that? I said, no, you have something else out there. I just have to keep trying until it's the right time for me to get it, because you have plans. So all I could do is just try. And that's how I looked at it. So giving up was never in my dictionary. I'm like, no, I'm not giving up. He knows. He didn't get me this far to let me, you know, to just, it's like, how would my kids look at it? Like, they'll be like, if you tell the kids to go do something, they'll look at you like you're crazy. You did all that. And what did you get out of it? So no, there's a lot of my children are watching. I just can't give up. I just have to trust in God to give it to me when it's his time. And that's how I took it. And I never entertained the thought of just saying it's done, because I know it wasn't done and I had nothing else. I'm like, if I die and I don't have it, then at least they know I die trying. Yeah. Like I said, I had a lot of health issues going to school. I had a lot of, you know, they see me broken up all the time for things, but I don't feel sorry for myself. And I tell them, I don't feel sorry for me, because when you feel sorry for me, then I don't have the motivation. I don't like to be, I don't like people feeling sorry for me. And I don't like to feel sorry for myself, because when you do that, you give yourself a reason to stop trying. oh yeah, I have this because of this. Oh, I didn't pass because I was a foreign student. Oh, I didn't pass because I'm not rich. No pity party here, no. I'm gonna keep trying. I don't care if I have back issue, I have glaucoma, I have arthritis, I have carpal tunnels, you name it, I have all kinds of health challenges. No, all I gotta do is ask them for accommodation. I've seen people that are blind, they take exam. I've seen people that are walking or they can't, you know, they have all kinds of disabilities. So why am I different? No, you could do this, whatever disability you have, you just have to work around it. Like I said, it might take me longer, but I'll get there. And that's how I looked at it. So yeah, giving up wasn't an option. And I'm glad I didn't, because now my kids, they look at it, they go, wow, you know, and everybody's like, wow, how did you do that? I'm like, well, I did, because that's what I wanted. And nobody could tell me any differently.
And you know, a certain humility comes from this type of journey, because I'll tell anyone who will listen that had I passed the first time and gotten all my dreams accomplished within a short period, I would have been a different person today.
That too. I think. Maybe. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, that too, maybe. Yeah, because you'd be like, yeah, this is easy.
And what's your problem if you can't
get it? What's your problem is if you can't get it? You're right. You're right.
Powerful. Did you delay the announcement for this exam like you did with the previous? How did the celebration come about? Was that on the day of the actual results?
Exactly. Because what happened, like I said, I don't normally check my exam. I stopped checking on the day off. But my daughter was home because of COVID. She works from home. And she was going to go out that night. She goes, Mom, so are you going to check? I said, check what? She said, check your result. I said, I don't want to do that. And then I have a friend also that I studied with on the phone this time, because she was taking the same prep course. So we share information and we studied together over the phone. So she called me, she said she was gonna check. I told her I don't want to check mine. So she called me and said she passed. So now I got like, okay. She says, you need to check it. And when she says you need to check it, I'm thinking maybe she saw mine. I don't know if she saw mine, maybe she knows something I don't know. And then my daughter was just like pacing back and forth. She wouldn't leave because she said she was going somewhere. And then I thought to myself, you know what? You don't normally check. Maybe you should, at least just so everybody can leave you alone. And, you know, if my daughter wants to go somewhere, she could just go about her business. If I didn't pass, at least she knows I didn't. And then I could just move on with my life. But before I did that, I was just like, okay, let me take a shower. Oh, no, let me eat. I was just delaying the process because I worked that day. So after I got off work, I finished working at 4:30, and this exam comes out at 6. And I couldn't do anything to keep myself occupied or to distract myself. So I was stuck in the house. So my daughter, my oldest was here and the baby was here. So they kept like expecting me. So finally I told them, I said, okay, I'm gonna go do this, but let me first take a shower. And then I take a shower. Let me first eat, because if I don't eat, and I don't pass, I might not eat for the next 3 days. I was looking for everything. And if I pass, I might not eat because I'm too excited. So anyway, so finally I finished and I just, you know, took the bull by the horn and I sat down and then I opened my thing. I didn't know how to check. I put my information. I said to my daughter, how do I even do this? Because I don't normally check. She says, all you gotta do is put in blah, blah, blah. And then I start looking for my card and everything else. But anyway, when I signed on and I saw the word pass, I said, pass, what's that? I said, will that be my moral character or my MPRE, you know, because I'm going through my profile. So I shouted, I called my daughter. I said, Sajima, come here. He says, I don't know this thing. So I didn't know what I was doing anymore. And I don't want to just say I passed that passing. So I called her to come and help me to make sure that what I'm seeing. And then I saw 2020 October exam pass. I'm like, does that mean I pass? And she looks and she goes, yes, Mom, you pass. Yes, you pass. I said, I passed, you know? So then the little one came up, my husband was around. And then my daughter's called their siblings, because I have two other daughters. I have four kids. So my oldest, and then my second one, she's in Pennsylvania. She went to school in Pennsylvania, but she was at New York at this time. So she got a job. She graduated 2020 and she got a job with Goodman Sachs. So she's working internship job. And then my son is in college and he's in, you know, he's not home. So he's in San Diego. He goes to UC San Diego. They connected their siblings, you know, communication like they do. So they called and put the other two on the line. So now there's the two on the phone and the two at home. So all of them. And all I hear is, she passed. And then they went off and I went off and I started my dance. And so everybody got glued into the whole celebration and called my mom. My mom doesn't even know what's going on. I told her, she's like, oh, okay. She thought it was like real estate. She doesn't know because she's gone through this with us, like me not passing. And she's always praying her rosary. So when I told her I passed, she didn't understand what's going on. She's like, okay. But she didn't know what I was talking about. She didn't know it was the bar exam. But anyway, so that's how it is. So they stayed on the phone while I'm going through craziness, calling people and saying I passed. And they were recording all my celebratory, you know, craziness, kissing my dad's picture. And after all that, they put it together and then send it to the one, my daughter in Pennsylvania. And of course, she put it on Twitter. She put her mom on Twitter for passing the bar. And that's how this whole thing blew up. So the next thing I knew, it went viral. I'm from here to Nigeria, to Ghana, to Kenya. I'm all over the world, you know, and people are distorting the story too. You know, it's like people started putting their own twist to the story. I'm like, are they talking about me or somebody else? But yeah, and the video went viral. Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah, the kids were here to celebrate it. So it was good.
Who started reaching out to you first once it went viral?
Let me see. Who was the first person that called me?
Because I know among family members, but then the media is getting involved now.
Yeah, the media, yeah, because my daughter, they started contacting my daughter. I think it was Good Morning America that I first spoke to. No, it was a radio station, A Dose of Hope. I spoke to A Dose of Hope, Good Morning America, USA Today, the Kelly Clarkson shows. I mean, it's like so many podcasts. So everybody was just like calling. It was so exciting. I didn't even know how to. I felt like I need somebody to help me with all this response because I couldn't. It was just too much. I was getting so many. My daughter was actually. They were calling her and she was forwarding it to me. This person want to talk to you. This person want to put you on their show. It's like, oh my God, really? You know, so yeah. So it went viral. I didn't even tell my job, but they found out they saw me on Good Morning America. They're like, what happened? Because I was too excited. I wasn't telling anybody anything, but wow. They were finding out from different media. So
Attorney Evelyn, I mean, from graduating law school, a 9-year journey, did you imagine the impact that you no doubt have had on individuals who you've never met? Did you imagine this moment coming?
No. I'm still getting letters, personal letters from people. I got some letter from attorney from appellate court. I'm getting all kinds of, everything is positive. That's the good thing. I'm getting calls from people that have been taking the bar and they give up. I had a lady that said she took it she finished school in 1998 and she gave up. Now she's trying to go back after she saw my story. So a lot of people, it has a lot of positive impact. And like I said, people are reaching out and most people out of state and they're calling me and then telling them my journey. And they're like, oh my God, you don't know what you did to me. Now I'm going back to do this. I give up, but I'm going to continue what I started. I didn't think it was possible. So It's very positive. I'm glad that my kids put it out there because I'm pretty sure there's so many other Evelyns out there, but their story don't get to be told and people don't know that. But if he helps other people to move forward even to whatever you're doing, to know that there's always going to be the naysayers, there's always going to be that doubt, am I doing it right? Am I fit for this? Am I good enough? That if you stay on it and just tune out the noise and just go with your heart and your mind, what you want, eventually it will happen. You just have to stay on it. And there's going to be other things, like I said, for mine, it was the health issue. the relationship issue. I mean, you just have to know that it won't come easy, but giving up shouldn't be an option because you only have one life to live. And if you have something that you really put your mind to and that's what you want, why would you let anybody else or some other circumstances stop you from pursuing it? Especially when you've come this far, you just have to keep going. I mean, what else can you do? You do something else, then you're not happy. Why just be depressed for the rest of your life when you, the way I look at it, it's like, if I don't have this law degree, yes, I'm going to keep working, doing what I'm doing. I love what I do, but it's not, I love what I do in the context that I'm helping people, but it's not paying me enough and it's not giving me that legal opportunity to help other people the way I would love to. So why am I going to sit here being miserable when I have what it takes to do something else, you know? So there's challenges. Nothing comes easy. Some people, it comes easy, and then they have other challenges that you don't know about. Everybody has challenges in life, you know? This, to me, might be something big, but there's people going through something bigger or worse. But you don't give up. It's like if you have a terminal disease, you don't just let it kill you. You have to fight a little bit. You might beat it or you might not, but you have to try. So that's how I look at it. So no matter what challenges that comes your way, just don't give up.
Yeah.
As long as it's what you want. If it's not something you want, maybe somebody put you up to it, then that's different. Then you know, okay, this is not really what I want. I'm just doing it because. But if it's something you want and you really believe and you know why you're doing it, don't give up. Just keep trying. And then there's going to be some other ways that it comes. It might not come the way you want it. It might end up putting you in a different channel, but you can't just give up, because you give up, you're going to be miserable. I promise. Yes. My son, for example, my son is doing engineering and everybody in the house is talking about, you know, we're all like talking about laws. Because my second one, she's also going to go to law school. She's taking a break. Yeah. Not a break, but she's doing internship.
Wow.
And she wants to have that on her resume because she wants to go to Harvard Law School. Or, you know, she went to an Ivy League school. So she says, I don't want to go to an Ivy League school and then don't go to Ivy League, you know. So she wants to put more stuff on her resume before she, you know, do her LSAT and go on. And my son was looking at it. It's like asking my baby, what do you want to do? She's like, I don't know. Everybody's doing law. Maybe I should do the same. I'm like, you don't have to, you know? So she's thinking about going to law school too. That's where she's going now, the little one. So there's three of them going to law school. And then he's like, maybe I should go to law school too. I say, well, we thought you were going to be a lawyer, you know, because you're the one that has, they were calling him like a little Johnny Cochran when he was little, because the way he, you know, carried himself. But engineering is what he wants. I said, you could combine and do that, but you can't give that up. So I had to tell him, I said, if you give it up because you want to do what everybody's doing, you're going to be miserable. You will hate yourself when you get older. He's 20. I said, if you change your major and do something else, you will regret it. So after I talked to him, he's like, yeah. So he's doing software engineering now, and he wants to get his master's and, you know, do what he has to do. But so that's the thing. I told him, I said, because for me, I didn't try, but not having that law license and doing what I wanted, I knew I'd be miserable until I went back to law school. So I knew, I was speaking from, you know, experience. You can't give up what you want because you're not going to be happy. You're living somebody else's life, and I don't want that. So the message here is, you want something, it may come easy. You know, if it comes easy, good. But don't abuse other people for what you have. If it doesn't come easy and it's hard, don't compare yourself to anybody else. Just look within yourself and see your situation and say, what can I do? How can I do it? And just be you and do you. You know, if you only have 2 hours to study and somebody else has 10 hours, don't be jealous of their situation, because you don't know what you're going to have tomorrow. Just use your 2 hours and make it quality time. They might have 10 hours. With 10 hours, they might be goofing off doing other things. While you have 2 hours, and if you make that a quality time and not complain about, oh, I only have 2 hours when these people have 20, complaining is not going to help you. If anything, it's taking away the little time that you have to do something positive. So just use what you have, okay? Blessing comes at the end. Look at me now. I mean, it took me 9 years, and I'm here, and I'm on social media. and I'm all over the place. There's people that pass it the first year. Nobody's talking about them. You see what I mean? So who's to say? So just enjoy whatever it is, but don't give up. Just do you, you know. God has his plans for all of us. And when it's your turn, he will bless you with whatever it is that he has. And I, you know, I'm still a work in progress. I don't have that job that I want yet, but I know God has it out there for me when the time comes, and then I'll be doing that too, you know? So I'm not rushing anything, you know, just be patient.
Powerful word. Attorney Evelyn told us you can have impact regardless of when you finish the course. That's a word. Attorney Evelyn, are you worried that with the upcoming book and the in-demand speaking engagements that you may not have any time to practice law?
I better have time to practice law. I must have time to practice law, because that's the main reason. The main reason is not just to be out there. You know, I can impact people, talk to people like you do, you know, just do my job, and then I can impact people on a part-time basis, you know, doing engagement and speaking. I, you know, my kids are like, why don't you just be a public speaker? Because I do speaking engagements, right? Well, not engagement, but I do, at my job, I facilitate. I'm a facilitator, so I speak in front of public already. If I was to take it to the next level, that shouldn't be a problem. I've always wanted to do that, but that wouldn't be what I do for the rest of my life. No, practicing law is going to be the priority, and then everything else in between will be secondary. Awesome, just like awesome. You, just like you, Ryan.
Awesome, awesome. Yes. Do you have a timeline for the book yet, or are you still letting it soak in?
No, actually, the book was supposed to be out like last month. But, you know, like I told you, health issues, and I have things going on. So I'm hoping I don't want to put before the end of the year, but I know maybe this summer, because I'm trying to take care of the health issues and stuff. The book should have been here. I'll let you know, but I was hoping like in the next couple of months. But if it doesn't, I don't want to see a couple of months and then it's not ready. So that's why I'm giving myself before the end of the year, but it wouldn't be that far, but it's this year for sure. So it's almost done, but there might, you know, there needs to be, I'm at towards the end, but gotta do some polishing and sure. I don't know, you know, how things will work before I finish.
I would be honored to have you back when the book is done to talk some more about it. You've given us a number of nuggets, attorney. And I think one of the things that I think I'll also leave with is, if there's something in your heart or you have a passion for something, perhaps you started the journey at a point when you were not probably ready for all it entailed. And, you know, like you've identified, sometimes completing the task takes time, and it could be piano lessons. It could be, you know, you want to go back to become a cook or learn a trade or practice law or start med school. If it's a burning desire, I believe Attorney Evelyn has given many of our listeners words of encouragement. Attorney Evelyn, thank you so much for sharing with us today. Anything you want to say finally about ways you're on social media, but are there ways individuals can get in touch with you if they need to connect with you and connect with your journey?
Well, I'm not too much. My kids are the one that are always on the social media stuff, but yeah, I'm on Facebook, but I'm trying. I'm kind of scared actually with Facebook, because people are like connecting to me and I'm scared because I don't know who I'm talking to. So I shy away, but I know that I need to get myself ready so I can really have like a social media or some kind of a media where people can talk to me. People call me, but the people that I've been talking to, they get a hold of me through my kids, you know, because I've been talking to a lot of people.
Like I did.
Yeah, because they're the one that put it out there. So people will just, you know, contact them and they'll say, Mom, this person wants to talk to you. I was like, okay, who? And then I'll try to find out who it is, and then I'll call them, and then, you know, yeah. But I will try and get something so that it's not too, I'll try and open something so that maybe the next time I come, I'll give you more link as to how I can talk to people and help anybody. And one thing that I really, really, which I, you know, because that wasn't, that this is not the topic, but one thing that I'm really, 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 really pushing, and that's a passion of mine, is I push minority, especially African Americans. And I have to say that because I'm African American, so you have to help your community. And that's who I can relate to. Not that I don't help everybody else. I help everybody else, but that's my passion. It's education. I really, really push on education. So if I was to have a podcast, it would be on that, because the way I look at life is, if you don't have the education to be in a place of authority, it's hard for you to get the representation that you need. When you're educated and you're able to qualify to be in that position where decisions are made, then you can start to have an impact. If we all sit and complain as to what's going on, and we don't want to go to school and you don't want to do something, then you can't have an impact, because everybody else is taking care of themselves. And that's one thing I really, really, really am passionate about, is education. Whatever it is, whether you want to be a nurse, you want to be a doctor, you want to be a teacher, because, you know, we need all that in all aspects of, you know, the society. But if you're missing, how are you going to expect somebody else to do it for your people or to do it for you? All you can do is complain. Oh, this is not right. Oh, social justice. We have to become part of this system by going to school and acquiring whatever it takes so that we can be sitting and helping. Just like you, Ryan, here you are. You're an attorney. You help. You know, with my license, I'll help. You help everybody. But then if there's injustice, I can't sit there and see somebody, treat somebody that looks like my son like they don't exist. Because that reminds me, like, oh, that could be my son. That's the representation I'm talking about. But if we're missing, then we can have that. So education, to me, is one thing that all of us should aspire to have, no matter what it is. Whatever you want to be educated in, go for it. But we need education. We cannot sit back and complain and let people do things and then complain how it's not done right. Let's become part of the solutions.
Powerful, powerful. Attorney Evelyn Uba is an author, a well-sought-after speaker, a mother, a wife, and an inspiration. I thank you so much for your transparency and your willingness to share about your journey. As I indicated, I'd be honored to have you back when the book is done and ready, so we can talk some more about your biography. And I look forward to your journey. Please keep in touch. And what I'll do is, when I get more information about ways to contact you, I'll update the episode notes so my listeners can connect with your journey. I'm sure one of your children is preparing a website for you while we're speaking. So.
Yeah, they're good at stuff like that. You know, I get scared. I'm like, somebody wants to talk to me. I don't know who it is. Let me figure it out first. So I go Google them before I even contact them. It's like, okay. So but you're right. I need to have that, because that would be very helpful for people to contact me so that I don't have to hide behind the curtains anymore.
Powerful story, man. Powerful testimony. And what's also significant to me is you're kissing the picture of your dad. This is a culmination of not only your own personal dreams, but the dreams of your parents and the legacy that you want to leave for your children as well. Powerful. Powerful.
Exactly. Exactly. My dad was, it's like you don't make that promise and then you don't deliver. It's like he's watching me all the time. I'm like, I got to do this for that.
Attorney, thank you.
I really appreciate you.
Yeah, this is awesome, man. And I know my listeners will be inspired by this story. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you very much. And you keep up the good work, because I'll be calling you for advice on how to do this.
Please, let's stay in touch. Let's stay in touch.
Everything is positive. That's the good thing. I'm getting calls from people that have been taking the bar and they give up. I had a lady that said she took it the last, she finished school in 1998 and she gave up. Now she's trying to go back after she saw my story. So a lot of people, it has a lot of positive impact. And like I said, people are reaching out and most people out of state, and they calling me and then telling them my journey, and they're like, oh my God, you don't know what you did to me. Now I'm going back to do this. I give up, but I'm going to continue what I started. I didn't think it was possible. So it's very positive. I'm glad that my kids put it out there, because I'm pretty sure there's so many other Evelyns out there, but their story doesn't, you know, don't get to be told, and people don't know that. But if it helps other people to move forward for what, you know, even to whatever you're doing, to know that there's always going to be the naysayers, there's always going to be that doubt, am I doing it right, am I fit for this, am I good enough, that if you stay on it and just tune out the noise and just go with your heart and your mind and what you want, eventually it will happen. You just have to stay on it. And there's going to be other things. Like I said, for mine, it was the health issue, the relationship issue. I mean, you just have to know that it won't come easy, but giving up shouldn't be an option, because you only have one life to live. And if you have something that you really put your mind to, and that's what you want, why would you let anybody else or some other circumstances stop you from pursuing it, especially when you've come this far?